necessarily understanding what it is you've done to offend them. New research suggests it's happened to 25% of us and that the impact psychologically can be quite profound. What effect has being ghosted had on you? And why do you think that people do it?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock. Search teams looking for a girl who went missing in the River Thames in Kent say a body has been found. It was recovered in the water near Gravesend, as LBC's Joe Hawkins now reports.
Police had been working with the RNLI and say the remains of the child were located just before midday earlier today. Their search began yesterday afternoon but had been paused overnight. Formal identification hasn't yet taken place, but Kent Police says the girl's death isn't being treated as suspicious. A boy who was also rescued after getting into difficulty at the same time on Friday afternoon is in a stable condition in hospital.
The UK's Trade Secretary is to meet his US counterpart next week after President Trump's announcement on higher tariffs for steel and aluminium. It's believed Jonathan Reynolds will be looking to establish a timeline for exemptions. Donald Trump announced overnight the duties will double to 50% in the coming week. President Trump's Defence Secretary is warning China is preparing for a potential invasion of Taiwan. Pete Hegseth has told a security conference in Singapore Beijing has been rehearsing and there could be an imminent threat. The Liberal Democrat MP, Mike Martin, sits on the Defence Select Committee at Westminster. He's been telling LBC the British military needs to expand.
The infantry is the smallest it's been since the 1790s. We can put about five ships to sea at a time. Maybe if we had to fight tonight, we could get 30 planes in the air. It's just not big enough. So you can have that digital backbone that enables your forces to speak to each other with AI and all the rest of it. But if there aren't any forces to speak to each other, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
A woman in her 20s has been stabbed to death in South London. Police say a man in his 30s who was taken to hospital with minor injuries has been arrested on the suspicion of murder after the killing in Croydon. The Israeli military has confirmed it has killed the leader of Hamas in Gaza, Mohammed Sinwar. It says he died on the 13th of May after a targeted strike on a hospital in the south of the territory. And in sport and in tennis, the men's British number one, Jack Draper, is through to the fourth round of the French Open. He's beaten Brazil's João Fonseca in straight sets at Roland Garros. LBC weather, any remaining rain will clear to the east, leaving a dry and settled night for most areas. Cloudy in the west with showers spreading across Northern Ireland and Scotland by dawn, with a low of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Natasha Devon.
It is coming up to 3 minutes after eight. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the term ghosting. People use it all the time. But just in case you are not in the online dating scene or this is not a term that is familiar to you, it's used to describe when somebody suddenly ceases communication with you. So they sort of disappear from your life unexpectedly, often when you think, in the case of dating, that things are going really well, or in the case of friendship, where you're not necessarily sure what it is that you have done wrong. And there's new research out which shows that 25% of us have been ghosted at some point in our lives, and that the impact on our emotional well-being, in terms of our self-esteem, for example, can be really quite profound. So that's why I thought I would ask you if it has happened to you. 0345 6060 973, if you want to call and tell me your story. And it can be in a romantic context, or it can be maybe a friend or even a family member who just stopped all communication with you, and as far as you were concerned, there was really no reason for it. You can also call me if you have been a ghoster, if you have ghosted someone, and explain to me, and again, you can be anonymous should you wish to, but explain to me why you thought that that was the best course of action to pursue. and whether you regret your actions or whether you still believe that that was the right thing to do. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. You can text 84850 or send a comment to LBC. A study from 2023 suggested that being ghosted may trigger depression and paranoia amongst young people. Do you think that's true? Because I wonder, and I was talking to some younger colleagues in the newsroom earlier, and their attitude was very much like, oh yeah, people get ghosted, it happens all the time, you almost half expect it. And it almost seemed to me that it was within the accepted lexicon of behaviour now. And I wonder then whether the reason that ghosting is so prevalent is because we live in a sort of a society where we're always being encouraged to believe that there is something better just around the corner. I mean, certainly that's the case with dating apps, isn't it? Is that you may meet somebody who is, you know, 85% exactly what you're looking for and you think they're great. But the dating app is sort of whispering in your ear going, well, Mr. or Mrs. 100% might be there with the swipe of a screen. And people become very disposable in that context. And I wonder if that's behind the rise of the phenomenon of ghosting, or whether actually it's something that has always existed. And it's just that now we have a specific name for it because the technology exists. We have labelled it. We've given it a name. And whether actually you're listening to this thinking, well, no, that happened to me, but like way before online dating was a thing or way before smartphones were a thing. I also was interested to note that younger people more at risk of experiencing poor mental health as a result of ghosting. Sure, I can see that. I can 100% see that, particularly if it's your first romantic encounter or your first love, your first kind of foray into that world. I can see how that would have a really profound impact on you. But also those with lower incomes. And I'm really curious as to why that would be. Why would ghosting bother you more if you have a lower income? Do you think? 0345 6060 973 if you have answers to any of those questions that I have just posed. Well, I'm joined now by Maria Avgatidis, who is known as Matchmaker Maria, best-selling author of Ask a Matchmaker, Matchmaker Maria's No-Nonsense Guide to Finding Love. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. So, what do you think is behind the phenomenon of ghosting? Why do people do it, first of all?
I think what you did in just introducing this is incredible, because you first defined ghosting, but then you also started talking about how different generations react to it. So let's first, is it okay if we first talk about your definition of how you kicked it off?
Sure.
Yeah, so you actually nailed it. You mentioned that ghosting is when you have an emotional connection with someone and then they disappear. But then you started talking about how the younger generation just thinks that it's just a normal part of dating. And I would tell you that it's because the younger generation thinks of ghosting as a different definition. What I see as a professional matchmaker when I'm talking to, you know, singles every day, between me and my team, we talk to about 40 people every single week, is that ghosting in the younger generation is considered, or even people that are currently dating that are above 35, they see ghosting as, they'll say ghosting after, oh, we went on a first date, it was great, and then they never called me again. And now I was ghosted. So to go back to your definition, did you have an emotional connection with someone on that first date? Or did they just not call you back because they didn't want a second date? Because frankly, is to go back to your definition, which I think is 100% accurate, ghosting is so hurtful, especially when it's someone that you've been dating for a few weeks. Maybe you even met their friends, you've met their some family members, you went on a trip together, and then they poof, disappear. That is so hurtful. And I'm not saying it's not hurtful if you don't go on a second date with someone. Of course, it's hurtful if, you know, you really like them and you fantasize about a second date. But that's also dating.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, actually, that certainly when I was talking to my younger colleagues, it was more, I went on a date and then I never heard from that person again. And I guess, yeah, if we're going to talk about the classic definition of ghosting, it's more when you are genuinely expecting to hear from that person again. And if you are emotionally invested in somebody and perhaps they have met your friends and you've introduced them into your life a little bit, I mean, what compels somebody to ghost somebody in those circumstances?
I think it's been my experience in talking to some ghosters, even my own ghost. I've been ghosted as well. I will share with you, since you're taking in calls. I was with a relationship with someone for 3 months. We went on 2 trips. I met some of his friends. He certainly met all of my friends. And then one day, I actually talk about this in my book. He, you know, went on a business trip and never appeared again. And I remember calling hospitals in Italy because that's where he had traveled to. And, you know, that, you know, it was traumatic. It was traumatic, and closure after ghosts is really hard. But I think there are people that are cheating. I think that there are people that are using you as their other person more than half the time. Like, that's at least what I see as ghosts, where it's like, okay, I'm not emotionally available to you. And I'm, you know, you're probably ignoring the signs because of that emotional availability. You think I'll still choose you. And then one day, poof, ghost. And, you know, for anyone who has been ghosted, I just want to say that that person that ghosted you, they have the capacity to hurt you. And I know it doesn't feel like it at that time, you know, that this person's not the one, but they're not the one. I don't want you to be with someone who can exhibit such cowardly and hurtful behavior.
Are there any red flags to look out for in terms of somebody who might be likely to ghost you?
If you are the kind of person who is going to describe the person that you're dating, that they're kind of like an onion. And what I mean by that is, you know, they're not as open with really basic information. They almost make you feel like you're being rude for even asking something simple as, when is your birthday? And they're like, well, let's not talk about that right now. Or they don't want to talk about their friends to you. Or they're not just giving any of the normal intimacy markers. That's usually the sign of a ghost forming. Because to them, they'll walk away and they'll say, well, they didn't know anything really about me. They don't know who I am, who my friends are. But they don't realize that there was an emotional connection, most likely because there was intimacy involved as well, right?
And you know, having been the ghosted yourself, what kind of emotional impact does it have on somebody when that happens to them?
You know, I can speak on my own personal experience, but also in all of the people that I've spoken to that have been ghosted. The emotional impact is trying to make sense of the reality that, how did I trust this person? How did I ignore the signs, if there were any signs? Because sometimes there aren't. And also, how can I trust again? What you mentioned before about people experiencing paranoia and having mental health struggles, of course, you know, someone just ripped the rug under you and you feel like you can't trust the people around you. That is a type of paranoia. And I think the only thing you can do is, you want to find closure, and you think that if they give you the answers, you'll find that closure, but you're not going to find closure. No matter what they say to you, there will be no closure. And that's a really hard pill to swallow. You have to find the closure yourself, and that takes time.
And I wonder the role that social media is in playing this. I don't know if you saw it, but there's a series called Black Mirror by Charlie Brooker. And in one of the episodes, it posits this idea of what would happen if you could block someone in real life, if the technology existed, if you could just press a button and then that person would no longer be visible to you. And we're increasingly spending so much of our time online, and where it is possible to block people. I wonder if that makes us feel like we don't have to resolve all those gnarly leftover things with people because we can just block them and be done.
It certainly resonates, but at the same time, I always have to remind people that it's not in our, I don't want to say it's not normal, but as a species, we have an instinct to connect with each other. And what we're doing, and probably it's been exacerbated with the technology that we have. I mean, we have full computers in our pockets. We've learned, I mean, I'm in the dating space. We've learned to date alone. That was a thing that we never did alone before, right? When you dated, your parents and your grandparents, they met through friends, you know, and your parents may have meddled. Like, dating was a community effort. And when you do it that way, people are accountable to each other. But now that we're meeting people at home, we're also participating in really convenient apps. I don't know if you have this in the UK, but, you know, for instance, we have Uber Eats, where they'll deliver your food, but they can also deliver, you know, sanitary napkins or pencils in the middle of the night as well. You know, we also have Amazon. We have all this convenience surrounding us. And as a result, it makes us feel like not just that people are disposable, that everything is disposable. So we're A, losing our ability to connect with each other. We're becoming, we're exhibiting social atrophy. And at the same time, we have these computer in our pockets that have certainly helped that issue happen. But we have the apps that also keep us busy thinking that we're full. I mean, how many people will tell us, you know, oh, I saw the news today, but it was really a TikTok. Mm. Or I heard this story from someone, but it was actually someone's TikTok. We're thinking that the person speaking to us, you know, through the internet is our friend. But the thing is, you still need to have the ability to connect with people.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he has been married for a really long time and has never internet dated. And he was saying, I don't understand why people just don't go outside, you know, and try to meet somebody in real life. And he didn't think that using dating apps would ever or would very rarely, result in a kind of lasting connection. Do you think there's anything in that, or do you think that we're so used to meeting people online now that that's really the only way that you can do it?
You know, in chapter one of my book, Ask a Matchmaker, I actually go through the history of how we evolved from courting to what we're currently doing, which is swiping away our soulmates. And I will tell you that I think online dating can be a fantastic tool to meet new people if you use it as a tool. And most people don't, right? They don't put good photos up. They don't fill up their prompts and they speak really negatively. And when you go to a family barbecue and you're meeting other people and their friends and whatnot, you don't go out and say, you know, the first thing out of your mouth is not, who did you vote for? It's, you know, there's more conversation than that. So we're not using it as the tool it was, let's say, designed for. But it's always interesting to talk to people who got married before the age of internet dating. This is something that I explore in the book, and that is because they don't get it. And a lot of it is also on them. I think that if people that are coupled up or married really wanted to have a positive stake in their friends' future relationships, they would be inviting their friends to the barbecues, to the company outings, to the community halls where things are happening. But instead, they're also participating in allowing their friends to stay on the couch and swipe, swipe, swipe. So it is a two-way street. And it's not up to someone who never got to participate, you know, someone who's married for 30 years to understand it. They don't have to understand it. Not everything is meant for them, right? But they still have to acknowledge the reality that their coworkers, colleagues, nieces, nephews, children are facing in the current landscape of dating, which is a lot of people are currently experiencing dating fatigue.
Maria Avgatidis, thank you so much for your time this evening. It's fascinating to talk to you. Known as Matchmaker Maria and the author of Ask a Matchmaker, Matchmaker Maria's No-Nonsense Guide to Finding Love. But of course, we don't have to just talk about ghosting in relation to romance. We can also talk about it in relation to friendships. Have you ever been ghosted? Have you ever been the ghoster? What impact did it have on you? Why did you do it? I want to hear your story. 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. You're listening to Natasha Devon and the time is 8:17.
The all-new LBC app. News your way. Download it for free from the App Store. This is LBC.
At Specsavers, we've got hearing devices that can stream music or movies, and ones that are good in crowds. Rechargeable battery ones. Ones that are good at home. Ones that are good in the great outdoors. Ones that connect to phones. Ones that fit in your ear. Ones that fit over your ear. And ones that fit in wherever you happen to be. We've even got ones in our advanced range that use AI to make speech sound clearer. Mm. And they're all available at great Specsavers prices. Book a free hearing check today, because OK Hearing is not OK.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax, because so much is included. A choice of specialty restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea included. Realizing the whale is actually just a wave included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
This is LBC with Natasha Devon. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It's 8:18. Lots of texts coming in on this, and most of you very cross with the idea of somebody who would ghost, using words like cowardly. But there have been a couple of texts that have given me pause. So this one from Rico says, when your life after a five-year relationship with a skilled narcissist is totally dissembled, the effective act to save your sanity is to stop all contact, communication, and information immediately. It's the only effective way to cease the selfish, destroying, narcissistic supply that they crave. And then this one from Yvonne says, you get ghosted because you're so self-involved, you can't see that you've been torturing the other person with all your drama and never listened to them. Some people struggle to fight for space in a friendship. I have never ghosted anyone, but I've been sorely tempted. Some people are friendship bullies. And I can completely see both of those points. Sometimes you do, for your own sanity and your own safety, just need to completely cut off communication with somebody. And sometimes in a friendship, you can try and say, look, you know, can your behavior be amended? You can try and fix it and nothing works. And in that particular instance, again, I can see why you would be a ghoster. So we're all learning. 0345 606 0973 is the number if you want to get involved. William has called from Nottingham. What would you like to say?
Yeah. Hi, Natasha. You're right.
Yeah, very well, thanks. What can you tell us?
I'd just like to say, basically, you know, with, like, even down to, well, you know, if you just ghost someone, especially if you've had, well, like, I felt like they were two good points, so stunned me a bit what they just said about, like, the 5 years. But surely, like, someone has been doing that, like, yo, I've got to tell them I don't like them, give them the reason, you know, and then just say, and never talk to me again, you know, like, rather than just, just ghosting someone. I feel, I can't, like, they are two good points here, but let's say you just go on 2 dates, you end up having, like, intercourse, something, and then you just ghost that person the next day. Mm. And that's well cowardly. Like, it's not good at all. Like, it's
yes.
Not mature.
And that behaviour has always existed, though, hasn't it? After what one person thinks is the beginning of a relationship and the other person saw it as a conquest / one night stand. That is a very, very familiar scenario. But do you think that ghosting is becoming more prevalent because people are doing more of their dating online now?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's becoming more prevalent because of, like, texting and phones, like, in general, to be honest.
Mm.
I mean, how many people do you ring and they won't answer and then they'll text you back like, oh, what's up? But, like, they've literally got the phone in the hand, so they'd rather not have a conversation over the phone. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, and it's text, always down to texting. So if you just text someone, even like, oh, like, I mean, some people would prefer a text, like, to, you know, just rather than getting ghosted.
Mm.
But I just think less word having to do to talk to each other, even though we talk less with texting, I think it's just getting worse. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but
has it ever happened to you, do you mind me asking?
I can't lie, a couple of mates have, like, ghosted, like, good friends, do you know what I mean? And then, like, just fell out without falling out. And I can't lie, like, if I fall out with someone, I've got to fall out with you. You know what I mean? You know, I can't leave something out in the open without not knowing.
So it was, to you, what seemed like quite an inconsequential disagreement, but to them it was enough for them to cut off contact?
Yeah, basically. And you're just a bit like, oh, what have I done? Like, for quite a while, and then eventually you're like, oh, I must have done something. Do you know what I mean? But then it's like, and some people, like, I can imagine, get ghosted, and then someone just jumps back in the life, and then they're like, oh, what do I do now? And you've got no power over it, I guess.
Yeah. Now, what would we call that? Resurrection, maybe. But that's a really good point, actually, that once somebody's done it to you once, then there's an imbalance then, isn't there, in the friendship? Because you're always treading on eggshells, thinking, what if you do that again? You just disappear on me.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think J. Cole said it, like, fool me once, like, shame on you. Fool me twice, like, it's like shame on me, isn't it? But then you just have to remember not to get fooled again, I feel like. But then it puts barriers up, where if you just fell out over a reason, you might not have ever fell out. And it's like, I just feel like texting is way less than even over the phone, because you're getting real emotion. Because I don't know, how often do you laugh when you actually put lol, do you know what I mean, on a text message?
Yeah, and you can't always intuit the way that somebody means something over text. You don't have their tone or their facial expression or anything else to go off, and you read it ultimately in your own voice. And so there must be so many misunderstandings that arise as a result of people communicating over text. William, thank you so much for your call. If you want to call me and tell me what impact ghosting has had on you, whether it's been in a romantic dalliance. I don't know why I've become quite old-fashioned in the language that I'm using this hour. I'm sort of turning this into a bit of an Austen novel. But whether it is a romantic encounter or whether it's a friendship and somebody has just ceased communication and you were emotionally invested. So we know from our expert at the top of the hour that that's the true definition of ghosting, is when you are emotionally invested and you are expecting to hear from that person again and you just don't. Has it happened to you? Have you done it? Why and what was the impact on you? 0345 600 973 is the number to call. Denny has called from Ryslip. What would you like to say?
Oh, hi, Natasha. Thank you for taking my call. I'm quite nervous. It's the first time I have ever called the station.
Oh, you're very welcome.
To my shame, really, an extreme deep pain. In 2016, I ghosted my best ever friend and as well as other acquaintances or friends, but she was something special. I was married to a narcissist to the extreme. He was a professional man. Everyone loved him. Everybody really was envious of me that I was married to him and how well I was kept. Mm. But behind the scenes, he was a control freak. Slowly, I did ghost my friends, but this one friend, that was 2016, and it still pains me to the extreme.
So this partner that you had...
I was married to him.
So your husband persuaded you to isolate yourself and drop these friends from your life so that he could control you?
Well, he did it without you realizing it. And once you realize it, you know what steps to take. If a friend called around for a coffee, he wouldn't speak to me for days.
Wow.
Interrogation as to what kind of conversation took place.
Mm.
How long were they there? And slowly, slowly, you just do not want to sort of be answerable to a person like that, and you stop seeing your friends, you stop asking them around for a coffee.
Because you don't want to rock the boat.
You find yourself in my position.
I'm so sorry that that happened to you. What you're describing is, you know, it's classic coercive control, and it doesn't make it any easier to go through to know, I'm sure, that it's happened to lots of other people. But what do you think would happen if you reached out to those friends that you've lost touch with now?
By coincidence, I called their daughter about 2 weeks ago, and she did say her mother and her father went through immense emotional pain. And I could relate to that because I'm still going through that.
Yeah.
It's not resolved. It's me that's inflicted that upon those people. But I couldn't bring myself to explain to them because everybody told the world of him.
But would they not understand if you explained it to them in the way that you've explained it to me?
Their daughter said they're too old to understand how a narcissist would behave and the control. And they were lucky, as their daughter said, to have been married from when they were teenagers.
Yeah.
And they're in their late 80s. And they wouldn't be able to understand. And I think I will take that to my grave, this pain, this emotional pain that I put them through. And I couldn't bring myself to explain.
Oh, Denny, I'm so sorry. And thank you so much for calling and for sharing such a powerful story and your first time call to this station. And it's so understandable why you did what you did. And I'm sorry that your friends don't have the capacity to understand it. I also, you know, I can see why they may not have the capacity to understand it. But just to reassure you, the way that you've explained it to me, and certainly I can see from the tone of the text coming into the studio, a lot of support for you, a lot of love for you, that nobody thinks that you are to blame in this scenario. I mean, if anything, it was your husband who ghosted those people or was responsible for the behaviour, because he was using it as a way of controlling you. And I appreciate what you're saying, that doesn't detract from the pain that inflicted on your friends. But I hope that knowing that I understand why you did it, and so do lots of other people, brings you some comfort. If you want to give me a call and tell me about your experience of being ghosted when you genuinely did not expect it to happen, 0345 6060973 is the number to call. I wonder if listening to Denny speak there has made you think, oh, do you know what? I assumed it was something I did, and I've spent all of this time asking myself questions about what I could have possibly have done to have deserved that treatment. And now I've heard from Denny, I've realised it could have been something that was going on in that other person's life that I had absolutely no idea of. Because that's certainly what I was thinking when I was listening to Denny speaking. I was thinking, you know, we don't always know what's going on in somebody's lives, even if we're really, really close to them. And there are sometimes really understandable reasons which are outside of your kind of sphere of understanding at the time. Also coming up, we're going to speak to one of the activists who attended a vigil in Westminster yesterday for children who have been killed in Gaza. So stay tuned for that. But for now, it's 8:30, so it's time for the news headlines with Tim Daly.
Rescue teams say the body of a girl's been pulled from the River Thames in Kent. A search involving police and the Lifeboat Institute began on Friday afternoon after two children were seen in the water near Gravesend. The UK's Trade Secretary is to meet his US counterpart next week after President Trump's announcement on higher tariffs for steel and aluminium. It's believed Jonathan Reynolds will be looking to establish a timeline for exemptions. And President Trump's defense secretary is warning China is preparing for a potential invasion of Taiwan. Pete Hegseth has told a security conference in Singapore Beijing has been rehearsing, and there could be an imminent threat. LBC weather: any remaining rain will clear to the east, leaving a dry and settled night for most areas. Cloudy in the west, with showers spreading across Northern Ireland and Scotland by dawn, a low of 8 degrees.
This is LBC.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician, and to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service.
How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963. A Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
Natasha Devon on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It's 8:32. This is a really interesting anonymous text. Ghosting. People do it because they feel they're superior. They want to hurt, and because of the new narrative of cut-off culture, calling everything toxic and negative, not being mature enough to communicate and work through things, holding people to unrealistic expectations. Now, instinctively, I want to push back against that and say, is it that everything is called toxic these days? Or is it that actually people are sharing their stories, often via social media, but recognizing patterns of behavior that denote things like, for example, narcissism? And yes, perhaps having higher standards for themselves for that reason. But I would always have framed that as a positive thing. And yet I wonder if there is a grain of truth in that, whether we are quicker to dispose of people when they are slightly disappointing as opposed to actively harmful. If you have a thought on that, 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. If you've just tuned in, the broader conversation that we're having is about ghosting, which is when either in a friendship or a romantic scenario, somebody ceases all communication and you were genuinely not expecting it. So you just stop hearing from that person, and maybe you're messaging them and maybe you're calling them, and it is as though they are a ghost. They have gone. They have disappeared. And we're examining why the phenomenon's on the rise, because apparently 25% of us will experience it at some point. But we're also asking, what's the impact of it if it's happened to you? A really, really powerful call from Denny before the news headlines there, explaining why she was a ghoster and the fact that it was a result of her coercively controlling husband who effectively forced her to give up all of her friends. I thought that was a really powerful insight. If you have any kind of story to share, 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. Before we return to that conversation, though, actors and activists, including Steve Coogan and Juliet Stevenson, gathered in London yesterday to read out the names of thousands of children killed in Gaza. This was a vigil that was organised by Choose Love, and it took place outside the Elizabeth Tower in the Palace of Westminster. Participants sought to honour more than 16,000 children who have died in the last 19 months. And one of those people joins me now, Nicola Thorpe, broadcaster, actor and campaigner. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having me, Natasha.
Explain to me, how did this work? How many of you were there, and how long did you each spend reading out this huge list of names?
I mean, there were dozens and dozens of us over the 24 hours that we were there. It started on Thursday, and we anticipated that it would go on till about 8 p.m. My slot was 5 o'clock on the Thursday afternoon, and I read out hundreds of names of children who'd been killed in Gaza. And we anticipated that it would go on, like as I said, till 8 p.m. It didn't actually finish till about 5:30 the following morning. It took 18 hours to read out every individual name of the Palestinian children who've been killed in the last 18 months. And it's just an absolute tragedy.
And we don't even know, do we, if that's the full extent of it, because it's very, very difficult to keep an accurate record of everybody who over the past 18 months has been killed in Gaza. How did you obtain, or it wouldn't have been you, but how did Choose Love obtain the list of names?
I mean, they've got their own sources that they would have done it via, but I understand that the criticism often levied at people like Choose Love is that, well, you know, the only numbers that you could possibly be using are Hamas numbers. And to that, I would counter by saying, look, no international journalists have been allowed into Gaza since this began, or certainly without the guidance and oversight of the Israeli army. So it's impossible for us to truly get those figures from any independent source. But they're also from families. You know, you and I over the past year or so have seen images of dead children, images that I wouldn't even want to describe on air right now, horrific images that we would never want to see. And, you know, all of those contacts, the direct contacts that Choose Love have with people in Gaza, with the hospitals, etc. That's how they gathered that information.
What was it like for you to, because you're right, we do see these images all the time, and to an extent that I feel like some people have almost become desensitized to them, because we have watched this be live streamed into our phones, essentially. Mm. And you can forget when, I think sometimes when you're looking at images, that these are human beings, and they are an entire world, an entire universe to the people that know and love them. And I think naming those children was such a powerful thing to do, because it gives them their identity back in a way. So for you to be the person who was doing that, who was voicing those names, what was that experience like?
I felt a deep sense of responsibility for each and every child whose name I read out. And I went with my husband and our 18-month old daughter, and as I was reading out those names, I could hear her in the crowd just shouting, "Mama, Mama," because she wanted to know what I was doing with a microphone rather than sort of tending to her. And I broke down. You know, I thought of not just all the children who've died, but the children who are calling out for their parents who are no longer alive, the children who have got life-changing injuries, and the children who will ultimately go on to die of starvation. But there was one moment, actually, where I wasn't quite sure of the pronunciation of one of the child's names. And afterwards, I broke down again because I thought, well, you know, the very least I could have done was said their name right. And I didn't. And, you know, I felt this weight of responsibility. I know there's very little. It feels like we're so helpless at the moment. But we're all going through it, I think. Do you know what? In the same way that I don't think we've quite understood the mental health impact that COVID has had on us as a society, I think there's probably a generation of especially younger people, but not limited to, who don't truly know the effects, the long-term effects of seeing images like this, you know, shown directly to the palm of our hand on a daily basis. And I just don't think that we really know how to cope with it. So this was a way of actually putting that into action and calling on Keir Starmer to not just use his words, but use actions against Netanyahu's government to stop the starvation and killing of children.
And I imagine as well that there was also something that was quite... I want to use the word healing, but that's not what I mean. We live in a world where we are so often gaslit about what is happening in Gaza. And we're told that it's justified, or we're told that it's exaggerated, or we're told to ignore it and focus on other things. And yet I imagine standing with a group of people who all acknowledge the extent of the devastation and the loss of innocent life, there must be something legitimizing about that.
There is. Look, I'm not so arrogant as to think that me or a charity or anyone really in the UK has the answer to sort, you know, to finding peace in the Middle East. But what we are all united on is the fact that children, we're not even talking about the adults here, innocent adults, men and women, children should not be treated like this. They should not be victimized in this way during a war. And we all just kind of joined together, not just in person, but online on social media, and went, this has to stop. You know, if you can't have moral clarity over the butchering of children, the starvation of children, just as, you know, people were outraged at what happened to the children on October the 7th. You know, people so often say, well, you know, there's two sides. To me, there's not. There's sort of one side, which is innocent people, whether they be Israeli, Palestinian, and then people who aren't. And yeah, I think if you can't have that moral clarity on this issue, then I really worry where you are in the world.
And more broadly, what are Choose Love doing, or what are they calling on people to do in order to try and help the surviving children in Gaza?
Well, first of all, the main aim is to call on Keir Starmer to end all arms licenses to Israel. You know, again, we're kind of being gaslit at the moment by David Lammy, who's repeatedly saying, you know, I've suspended arms licenses to Israel. Well, he's suspended 30 of 350 arms licenses. So that's the first thing. And then secondly, for Keir Starmer to engage in meaningful talks for a sustained ceasefire in the region. Which, you know, there's some news coming out of Gaza today, or coming out of talks between Hamas and Netanyahu. I don't hold much hope for that. But certainly the UK cannot and must not be complicit in this. We cannot continue to support Netanyahu's government in this way. And that's what we were calling on: actions, not simply words.
Nicola Thorpe, thank you so much. Broadcaster, actor and campaigner there, sharing her thoughts on that vigil. I mean, if you do get the opportunity to, I saw some of the vigil being streamed via Instagram, and it is incredibly powerful to hear the names of these children who have been killed by the IDF being read out. And the fact that it took them 18 hours to get through that list. And, you know, I have seen people say as well, you know, why always the focus on kids, on children, because, you know, innocent men and women are losing their lives as well in Gaza. And I completely take that point on board. But it goes back to what Nicola was saying, is that children should be something that we can all agree on. And it does bring about a kind of clarity on the situation. So it's very powerful. And if you get the opportunity to look it up, have a look at Choose Love's Instagram page, or if you're not on Instagram, take a look at their website and their other social media pages if you want to see some of the people involved, which include Nicola, also Steve Coogan, Juliet Stevenson, Nadia Sawala. I mean, there were lots and lots of people there who kind of passed the baton, passed this list and read out these lists of children's names. Feels like a massive tone shift now to go from that to our more lighthearted conversation about ghosting. But nonetheless, that is what we're talking about this hour. And it is something that can have quite a profound psychological impact on you. If you are emotionally invested in a person and suddenly you just stop hearing from them, it can have a really powerful effect on you. Lots of texts coming into the studio on this. This one says, "Hi, Natasha. I think ghosting is rude, hurtful, and done by people who are too spineless to say what's wrong. I'd never do that to someone, but it's happened to me more than once." That comes from Dave. This one says, "Being ghosted is awful if you have low income, because sometimes you'll be sure that's the reason, and often it will be." So this goes back to my question of the research on this that showed that 25% of us have been ghosted, said that it has more of an impact on you if you are a person of low income. And I was just really curious as to why it would hurt somebody more on a low income than somebody on a high income. And one potential explanation being offered up there, that you think it's because of your lack of wealth is the reason that you have been tossed aside, if you like. And then this one from Andrew says, "Natasha, for ghosting, just substitute the words being cowardly. If the relationship is not working, be bold and honourable and just say so. But we know, don't we, from some of the conversations that we've already had this hour, that that's not always possible. There's still time to call me and tell me your story about this. The number that you need is 0345 606 0973. You're listening to Natasha Devon and the time is 8:45.
Coming up at 9 on LBC, The Legal Hour.
Is your holiday hotel next to a building site? The Legal Hour rescues getaways. 0345 6060 973.
The Legal Hour on LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from Real Octopus Energy Calls.
Octopus are an absolute breath of fresh air.
The customer service is really good.
People like yourself and all of your colleagues have done such a wonderful job.
Your customer service was tip-top, you know, I couldn't fault it.
You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit ig.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Natasha Devon on LBC. Text 84850.
It's 8:47, and if you've just joined us, I saw this piece of research that's been done recently that said that more than 25% of us have been ghosted at some point during our lives. And this is when you are in a friendship or in a relationship and you think everything is going fine and you care about that person, and then suddenly you just stop hearing from them. So it's less we went out on a date and then I thought the date went really well and then I never heard from them again. Which I think is how ghosting has come to be defined more colloquially as the sort of prevalence of online dating has increased. And it's more when there is an emotional impact on you because you don't know what it is that you are supposed to have done to deserve that treatment. So it's a little surprise then that this same research shows that being ghosted can trigger depression and paranoia amongst some people, particularly younger people and those with lower incomes. And that's why I was curious to hear your story. What impact did it have on you when it happened to you? But I actually think, and 0345 606 0973 is the number to call if you have thoughts, but I actually think that some of the most powerful stories that we've heard this hour have been from ghosters. Because we always think, don't we, when somebody has hurt us, we sort of monster them in our heads and we turn them into this person not worthy of sympathy, or we kind of exaggerate all their worst qualities and forget all the things that we liked about them. And yet, the two or three stories that we've heard about why the ghosting was done made total sense to me. Made me think, yeah, if I was in your situation, I would have done exactly the same thing. And that was something that I was not expecting this hour. We have another first-time caller now, Lizzie from Glasgow. What would you like to say?
I actually think that some
Lizzie, if you could switch off your radio, then we will be able to have a conversation. Thank you so much. I will read out some texts in the meantime. This anonymous text says, on the topic of ghosting versus dating, you can spend weeks talking to someone online and then they ghost you after the first date. The issue is that you could have built up an emotional connection online before your first and only date. That's a really important point, actually, that, you know, you see these documentaries, don't you? I find them absolutely fascinating. You know, the stories online of people who have been catfished. And sometimes they're at the stage where they're engaged to people. They have agreed to give their hand in marriage to people that they have never clapped eyes on in real life, which just shows the extent to which you can build up an emotional connection with somebody just through talking to them online. So I can see in those circumstances how, yes, being ghosted after the first date would be very, very hurtful. Let's try Lizzie in Glasgow again. What would you like to say?
Hello. Yes, it's a wee bit different from dating because it was to do with a friendship.
Okay.
So you wouldn't expect ghosting with friendships, but it's something that happened to me last year in November, and I've been with for like 5 years.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden she sort of ghosted me in a way that was like, I no longer have time for you in my life, or I don't have space for you in my life.
And did she say that to you?
Not at first, because at first she just ghosted me.
Okay.
With the, like, no replies, nothing. So then I started to get worried about her, and I was like, are you okay? Why aren't you contacting me? But it turned out she just wanted to not have me, like, in her life.
And how did that, what impact did that have on you then, when that happened to you?
It was quite a big impact, to be honest, because you question, well, am I not a positive impact on somebody's life? And you also want a bit of honesty. And I think that's the not great thing with ghosting. And I think it's like, with ghosting, it's a reaction of our society at the moment, I think, with a lot of young people, because, like, I mean, I'm 32, but I think with a lot of young people, it's like we're not able to express ourselves very clearly. So then by ghosting, we're just not saying anything at all. And I think that actually is actually a way that we kind of close down.
Right.
You know, as young people, you know, whereas actually we should be able to say to one another, okay, what is the problem here? Like, what is it between us that isn't working?
Mm.
Let's hash it out. Like, let's have a chat and then go on our separate ways. I think that should be the way that we should go along things. And I think it's kind of maybe like become something that's to do with the social media, possibly. But because everything's online, you know, you think people can just, you can just kind of ignore them.
Yeah, and it plays into what an earlier correspondent said, where it's maybe we are less tolerant of each other because we're labelling certain traits as, you know, toxic and red flags and narcissistic, and we're throwing around these sort of psychological terms sometimes inappropriately, that when somebody's behaviour is disappointing or perhaps less than perfect, it's making us less inclined to stick with that person and work out the disagreement, because we see people as disposable. Lizzie, thank you so much for your call and for making your first call to this show. Zalika has called from Birmingham. What would you like to say?
Hello, thank you for taking my call, Natasha.
You're welcome.
It's a bit embarrassing to talk about your bar tour and getting out. I was speaking to a guy online who I met through dating apps.
Mm.
And I've been told, previously from my friends, I should just try it because, I do have a disability, because I did have TV meningitis and it affected my mobility.
Okay.
So at that time, I was walking with crutches, but now I can't walk at all, so I'm in a wheelchair.
Mm.
That's all right. But, I was walking with crutches, and I did tell her and explain to him and everything like that. But, the time we was at, and, when we were talking, it felt like we got really close, so I thought it was, was that a good thing? But, the day we was actually going to meet, I couldn't find him, and I was ringing him and everything like that, and I couldn't, no contact. So I was still searching around the place to see, where he was. But, since my legs were getting tired, I had to get a wheelchair. And I was still searching. I know it was so dumb. I do feel dumb, talking.
But why do you?
I don't know. I think it's because it's embarrassing. It's I've been judged because, how I am. I know it's hard to explain. I know, because my confidence did get affected through the meningitis.
Yeah. Can imagine.
And then, with the mobility as well, people do say I'm a good looking person, but. Mm. I still lack that confidence.
There is nothing in your story, though, that suggests that the reason that guy didn't show up is because of your disability. I mean, you were honest with him about it when you were talking online. Maybe he's just a guy that ghosts people.
Well, I did speak. Well, he did make contact to me, a few weeks after.
Okay. And what did he say?
Yeah. And he did say he didn't know I walked the way I did. And he didn't want to, keep in contact. And, it did hurt, even more.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And then after that, we was in contact. I know this is even more dumb now because I still was keeping in contact. And I found out, he was in a, other relationship and things like that. And he was still trying to talk to me. And, he was basically wasn't being as honest. But
yeah.
I don't know, part of me still wants to, keep in contact with him.
Because of the validation that it gives you that he still wants to talk to you.
Yeah, and but I know deep down, he did judge me, he did apologise for it. But it's still it was over 10 years ago, and I still feel in myself now.
Mm.
This is the first time I've talked about it out loud, but
I can tell from your voice that you're still carrying that experience with you really strongly. But the problem was that he was clearly a player who wanted to talk to lots of different people at the same time. It was nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I know I need to get that out of my mentality to think it's not my fault.
Yeah. Oh, Zalika, thank you so much for your call. And I'm so sorry about that experience. And I can completely understand why it did knock your confidence. And it just goes to show how, on the one hand, you can say, we live in a more disposable society and everybody's ghosting each other. And, it happens all the time. But on the other hand, you look at somebody like Zalika, who, this is something that happened to her a decade ago. And she's still obviously affected by it, still carrying it with her, still hurt by it. Just shows that we ought to be more careful with each other, really. Loads of texts coming in on this. I guess I should expect that, really, because it is difficult, as Zalika's call demonstrated. It is difficult maybe to talk about this physically, but relatively easy to send in a text message, which is sort of part of the broader phenomenon that we're examining, really. This from Liz. I got ghosted by what I thought was two of my best friends. I had arranged and paid for us and two others to go to a jazz venue in London on the evening of my birthday. I've been struggling badly with my mental health for some time, and unfortunately I had a bad panic attack and just couldn't go. Two of my friends got so offended that I was completely cancelled after that. They were clearly not worthy of being my friends when they chose to not support me during a difficult time. Liz, I completely relate. And if it makes you feel any better, as somebody who also for a very long time struggled with panic attacks, anybody who doesn't give you a bit of grace for that it's like you say, isn't really worthy of being your friends. This one says, my close friend ghosted me. I didn't react as I was hurt and had no idea what I'd done. Months later, I reached out via text as I missed her and she burst into tears and was so glad I'd messaged. Fast forward a couple of years, she had ghosted several of her friends and me again. Needless to say, this time I'm not going back. Some people enjoy cutting people off to see if you'll come running back. That's interesting. So it can be sort of part of a power game. So many of your texts, but I can't get to them all. But thank you so much for everybody who contributed to the show today. I will be back tomorrow at the same time, 6 to 9pm, in for Claire Foges. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can read and watch the latest from LBC, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 10, it's Nick Abbott, but right now it's the Legal Hour with Daniel Barnett.
Thanks, Natasha. I'll have to download that official LBC app. It's the Legal Hour here on LBC, ready with a legal first aid kit for the next 60 minutes. Has your builder sketched grand designs, pocketed the deposit, then ghosted you? Maybe a financial advisor has recommended a can't-miss investment that promptly sank, and you're wondering whether that's professional negligence or just bad luck? Or perhaps your employer calls a restructure that feels more like redundancy roulette. From faulty gadgets to breached contracts and missold policies, I'll give you the route map here on the LBC Legal Hour.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock. Rescue teams say the body of a girl has been pulled from the River Thames in Kent. Search involving police and the Lifeboat Institute began on Friday afternoon after two children were seen in the water near Gravesend. A boy who was rescued remains in a stable condition in hospital. President Trump's defence secretary has reassured allies in the Indo-Pacific